This is Dick Moore in KBOX Action Central News. The word, and this word from Washington. Government sources in Washington say President Kennedy is dead. It happened in Dallas, Texas today. The president and Governor John Connally gunned down as they rode in an open car in the west downtown area. An assassin's gunfire crashing out from a fifth floor window, apparently an automatic rifle about a .30 caliber. Both men rushed to Parkland Hospital. The president, they tell us, is dead. The condition of Governor Connally has not been determined. Police have one suspect in custody. They said they got a good description of the man, about 30 years old, a white man. And we also have one Dallas detective reported dead on arrival at Parkland Hospital. It's not known whether this shooting was tied up with the president's death. Dick Moore, KBOX News.
This is KBOX at 1480 in Dallas. We'll keep you in touch with our Action Central News sources and give you the complete story of the president's death.
When the boss says, take a break.
Me for dinner!
When you need to stay awake.
Me for dinner!
When your taste buds need a thrill, when you're hot and need a chill, don't drink that stuff that makes you ill.
Order 7-Up!
So wholesome, mothers give 7-Up to babies. Just ask your doctor about 7-Up.
Nearly twice as much you get for only pennies more.
Super King 7-Up!
You pour and pour and pour.
Now back to KBOX Action Central.
Carl King reporting on the latest information. Confirmation, the president is dead. He died in a Parkland hospital after being cut down by assassin's bullets while his motorcade was moving along the outskirts of Dallas. The shots apparently coming from the fifth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building. One witness said he saw the rifle being withdrawn from the window after the shots were fired. Latest information on Texas Governor John Connally is he still remains in critical condition. His wounds are apparently from the back, below the shoulder blade. One bullet apparently striking the governor. The president was reported to have been hit in the head by the assassin's bullets. Some people thinking the bullets came from an automatic type weapon. Other reports indicate that it was just a rifle. The latest report, confirmation from Parkland Hospital, the president is dead. We're waiting further information from the downtown scene to what is going on in downtown Dallas. Vice President Johnson's wife, after a quick check on conditions in the emergency section, said her husband was unharmed in the gunfire. The vice president riding in another car from the president. The vice president was somewhere in the hospital. It is impossible to determine his precise whereabouts at once. He was reported badly shot by the shooting. Doctors trying to keep him as quiet as possible. There is a report that the vice president also had been wounded, but this was denied by Mrs. Johnson. First word of the president's death came from two priests as they left Parkland Hospital's emergency ward where the president was taken. Their announcement brought audible sobs from a crowd of scores of newsmen and other citizens. Confirmation of the president's death came quickly from Washington. The president died at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Dallas time, some 39 minutes ago. We're awaiting further information from the downtown area of Dallas. And I believe one of our mobile units is standing by now for a report.
Ryan Jenkins, along with News Director Bill Hansen at Parkland, it's confirmed President Kennedy has been assassinated. I was now talking to two priests who left Parkland Hospital about 15 minutes ago, asked them what they thought. They said he was dead. They had administered last rites to the Catholic Church. Father Oscar Hubert, 53, of Holy Trinity Catholic Church, administering the last rites. A newsman asking one of the priests if the president was dead. The priest said, quote, he's dead all right, end quote. For further details, Bill Hampton.
Right, Ron. The only way to describe the scene here at the hospital right now is grief, and much of it. Women along the hallways of the huge hospital all crying, some hysterical, some have fainted. Many grown men, big men, walking down the hallways, standing in shock, tears rolling down their cheeks. their president has been assassinated today in Dallas, Texas. Bill Hampton, KBOX News.
And this word just into KBOX News, Senator Ralph Yarbrough talking with newsmen just before the announcement of the president's death today. Yarbrough collapsed in sobs as he told of witnessing the slaying, and police say they have one suspect in their custody. Again, though, the president of the United States, John Kennedy, dead of an assassin's bullet in Dallas, Texas. The condition of Governor John Conley, who was riding in the same car and who was also gunned down, has not been determined. Mrs. Lyndon Johnson said that her husband was not harmed. He apparently escaped. One in custody, a president dead, a governor critically wounded. We'll have more details in just a few moments. You're listening to KBOX 1480 in Dallas. We'll have more from Action Central in just a moment.
Thank you.
Dallas, Texas, to take you now to Dick Moore from Action Central News.
That's good.
The President of the United States is dead. John F. Kennedy, 46 years old, in his first term in the White House. Mr. Kennedy riding in a car, an open car, when he was shot to death by an assassin, his wife with him. She cried, "Oh no," grabbed the president as he fell. He was rushed to Parkland Hospital. He was pronounced dead a short time later, last rites administered by Catholic priest. The governor of Texas, John Connally, also taken to Parkland Hospital. He suffered several gunshot wounds, however, at Parkland now. They say his condition must remain undetermined. He is in surgery. A police suspect in custody. Officers looking for another man. It happened like this, apparently. The motorcade traveling in the west downtown area on Elm Street near Houston. Gunfire crashing out from a fifth-floor window. The president pitching to the floor of the car. The governor also. Mrs. Kennedy cradling her husband's head in her lap, sobbing, "No, oh no." The wounds in Governor Connally's chest were clearly visible. The Vice President of the United States now, the President of the United States, apparently escaped unharmed. Newsman who talked with his wife, KBOX newsman, said that she said her husband was all right. Senator Ralph Yarbrough was in the waiting room of Parkland Hospital when the word was passed, "The President is dead." Yarbrough collapsed in tears. No motive for the shooting. Apparently, at least three shots from a high-powered rifle crashing from the window, hitting the president and the governor of Texas. Word continuing to come into the KBOX newsroom. Lyndon Johnson, the new president of the United States, leaves the Dallas hospital where President Kennedy died. Johnson, accompanied by his wife, newsman had no opportunity to question him, but as we did say, Senator Ralph Yarbrough collapsed in tears when he heard the news. And the shots that downed the president and governor appeared to have come from, now they say, a grassy hill near the street the motorcade was moving on. The first report was from a fifth-story window. In a turmoil, confusion reigning, and impossible to tell whether the Secret Service agents and police returned the gunfire. The president was shot in the right temple. A simple matter of a bullet right through the head, said Dr. George Berkeley, White House medical officer. Those five words, a bullet through the head. At about the same time, a Dallas detective was dead of a gunshot wound at Parkland. It's not been immediately determined whether this shooting was linked with the outbreak of gunfire against the president. The city of Dallas, we talked to several people, many at the hospital. There's only one word. People are stunned. They can hardly believe it. The president of the United States shot to death. For late developments, back to KBOX News.
Oh. The President of the United States has been assassinated, and also one of the Secret Service men assigned to guard him against such an occurrence which happened here this afternoon. I'll repeat that. It's official now. Two deaths this afternoon at the hands of an assassin. Dallas police have recovered a foreign-made rifle, believed to be a 30-30. And a young man is now being questioned by law authorities. Last rites were administered to the now-deceased President Kennedy at officially 1:15 this afternoon by two priests who were brought here to the hospital for the last rites. The identity of one of the priests is a Father Hubert. I couldn't get the identity of the other. Death officially announced shortly after 1 o'clock this afternoon. And the word just in, a Secret Service man, has also expired. Governor Connally, who was wounded in the wrist and the left shoulder, is now under surgery here at Parkland Hospital. Bill Hinton, KBOX News.
On this Black Friday afternoon, a word from KBOX General Manager Ned Sheridan.
An expectant crowd of some 3,000 persons lined the Trademark in downtown Dallas today. Most of them had been served their steak and potatoes without being aware that anything untoward had happened at all. True, the presidential party was somewhat late in arriving, but all of those diners had been out of touch with their transistor and car radios for up to an hour. As the ladies and gentlemen began eating the luncheon served, this observer noted a number of newsmen gathering in tiny knots throughout the dining area. It was as though an electric shock had passed through me as I got up from the table and approached a group of such newsmen. No one would say a word. The clink of ice in the glass, the silverware on the table, the scrape of chairs in the giant dining hall continued unabated as the presidential seal stood empty at the head table. At about the very time the president was shot, thousands of persons gathering outside the hall awaiting his arrival knew about it long before the diners became aware. Even after the president had died, people continued eating. They knew not what had happened. Newsmen with private lines from all over the world reaching into this trademark were informed that something had happened. The first word reaching these newsmen awaiting the president was that he had been hurt. For about an hour thereafter, policemen still lined the route awaiting the party. Hundreds of children out of school for the occasion milled around, and only someone that knew what had happened would take a special note of the crowds around automobiles with radios. The highways in North Dallas are virtually clogged with people driving along at a snail's pace, listening to their automobile radios. The president is dead.
And the first official reaction is beginning to come in from overseas. KBOX News just received this from Moscow. Moscow's radio commentator in mournful tones announcing the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. He told the Russians, it's said he's been murdered by the extreme white right-wing elements. And here in Dallas, it's still, even newsmen who are accustomed to hard news are finding it extremely difficult to believe that the president of the United States of America was gunned down in broad daylight on a street in downtown Dallas. Mr. Kennedy, the father of two children, elected to the White House in November 1960, the nation's first Roman Catholic president. He narrowly defeated former Vice President Nixon. He was up for re-election next November. Vice President Lyndon Johnson will be sworn into office as soon as possible. He was rushed to the hospital and whisked away by Secret Service agents. His whereabouts are being kept a secret. He escaped injury. We understand now that the Vice President is already beginning to make plans to be sworn into office. He, the 36th President of the United States. Mr. Kennedy, the father of two children, elected to the White House, 1960. And the President and Mrs. Kennedy this morning, and it's been, oh, so many hours ago now, got an enthusiastic welcome from a large crowd when they landed at Dallas Love Field. No suspicion of the tragedy that was to follow. The First Lady walking with the President to shake hands with the crowd behind the barrier. She carried a bouquet of red roses, which clashed curiously with the color of her two-piece pink suit. She managed to keep the roses in hand while shaking hands with members of the crowd. At one point, Mrs. Kennedy almost lost one of her white gloves, but retrieved it quickly. Now that seems so unimportant. No Goldwater signs in the airport crowd. One segment of the crowd represented young Democrats of Southern Methodist University. That was the airport. Considerable female squealing over the president and lusty male shouts of, "Hey, Jackie." As we said, that was many hours ago. Now, the president is dead. Senator Ralph Yarbrough was riding three cars behind the president. He told us, and this is part of his statement, "You could tell something awful, something tragic had happened. I could see a Secret Service man in the president's car, leaning on the car, his hands wringing in anger, anguish, and despair. Says, I knew then that something tragic had happened. Yarber tells us he counted three rifle shots as a presidential limousine left downtown Dallas through a triple underpass. The shots fired from above, possibly from one of the bridges or from a nearby building. Now they tell us there's a good possibility it was fired from a grassy hill nearby. Conflicting reports on suspects. One report is that a suspect is in county jail. Another, the police are looking for another suspect. Another witness said he saw a gun emerge from an upper story of a warehouse commanding an unobstructed view of the presidential car. Kennedy, the first president to be assassinated since William McKinley, was shot back in 1901. The first death of a president in office since Franklin D. Roosevelt. He died of hemorrhage at Warm Springs, Georgia, April 1945. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover immediately made all of his agents and facilities available to Dallas authorities to help apprehend those guilty of the assassination of President Kennedy. Hoover telephoning city officials moments after he received word of the shooting. And Governor Connally, right now undergoing an operation for a gunshot wound in his chest. His condition is still undetermined, but at the scene, the gaping wound in his chest was clearly visible. He and the president both fell to the assassin's bullets. Both men's wives riding in the cars with them at that time. Mrs. Kennedy cradled the president's head in her arms and said, "Oh, God, no." She was seen bending over him on the back seat of the car. And this word in from Parkland Hospital just now, they've got an official listing of Governor John Connally. His condition is serious with gunshot wounds. So that is the way it is. The President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, dead. The Governor of Texas, John Connally, in serious condition, the result of bullets fired by an assassin at their open cars that traveled in a motorcade in Dallas. And as Mr. Ned Sheridan, manager of KDOX, said a few moments ago, those at the luncheon were the last to know. They were eating their lunches, the president dying, they unaware. News of the assassin's attack on President Kennedy hit Congress like a thunderbolt. The leadership reacted with comments of, "Oh, God, this is terrible." Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield of Montana called to the Senate cloakroom telephone by a newsman informed of the news flash on the attack of the chief executive and Texas Governor John Connally. All Mansfield could say, and I think this sums it up for America, for Dallas, "This is terrible. I can't find words." And that is just about the way Dallas is now. I can't find words at the scene.
That the President and Governor Connally were shot down by an unknown assailant wielding a possible 30-30 caliber rifle. The motorcade suddenly aborted as the President and Governor Connally pitched to the floor of their limousine covered with blood. Secret Service men immediately stood up in the car, in their hands automatic machine guns. Hundreds of officers rushed to the scene, shotguns in hand. Hundreds of spectators dropped to the ground. Mrs. Kennedy shouted, "Oh my God, no," the statement, according to a Mr. Newman, a witness at the scene. Moments ago, a police officer reported to have been shot down at 10th and Patton in the Oak Cliff area. Several squads of police, approximately 20 men, ordered to the Oak Cliff area. The building, the Texas School Bank Depository, here at the shooting of the president, still being searched for a possible suspect. One suspect in the county jail, the area roped off to the public. A late word shows that the police officer was dead on arrival at Methodist Hospital. This word from Dallas police, the president was dead on arrival also. A surgeon for Governor Connally from Galveston, he's being flown into Dallas at this time. He was shot in the wrist and the upper left chest, his condition undetermined. Detective Charlie Brown of the Dallas Homicide Department carried away a high-powered rifle from the scene of the shooting here in the downtown area. The assailant of police officer Tippett captured in the Texas Theater on West Jefferson. And here in the downtown area, as we look to the tops of the buildings, we can see the flag flying half-mast. From the downtown area at the scene of the shooting, this is Sound Tape, KBOX Mobile News Unit number 4.
Another tape report from the scene, KBOX News.
Here at the hospital, authorities have just released word that Governor Connally is now in serious condition. Earlier, it was reported he was in satisfactory condition. His last words before slipping into a deep coma was, "Please take care of my wife." The governor received two gunshot wounds, one in the upper left chest and one in the wrist. According to unofficial sources, the chest wound is deep enough and bad enough where he lost much blood before he was taken into the emergency room of the hospital where he's still in surgery. Bill Hampton, KBOX News.
Another KBOX News report from the scene.
Sound 8, KBOX Mobile News, again from the Texas School Book Depository. Reports from police and a witness here at the scene say that Dallas police recovered a high-powered rifle. Can you tell us, sir, what your name is and what they found?
Bray, Charles D. Bray. Telescopic rifle, looked like a .306, bolt action.
Where did they find it?
Somewhere around on Elm Street in one of the buildings.
Was it in the Texas School Book Depository building or another building?
Sure, they brought it down to the corner in a police car to take it for fingerprints.
Okay, sir, thank you. That's the latest development from the scene here of the shooting of President Kennedy. Sound Bay, KBOX Mobile News Unit number 4.
And Governor Connally's office received this word from Dallas today that all vital signs are good for the governor to survive. However, Parkland Hospital is still carrying his condition as serious. The governor has lost considerable blood, they tell us. Extremely weak. He's in surgery and has lapsed into a coma. Connally in the same car with President Kennedy when the chief executive killed. Bill Stinson, the governor's aide, said that Connally was being prepared for surgery. He says all vital signs are good. The pulse normal, the blood pressure good, his color is good. He has lost a great deal of blood, though. Stinson said Connally was hit by a bullet in the back that left his body in the right chest area. A back rib was fractured. Stinson said Connally also suffered a minor leg wound before lapsing into a coma. He said, please, take care of my wife. And what about these two wives riding in a car with these two brave men? Newsmen in the area, witnesses, will probably never erase the memory of Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy cradling the dying president's head in her lap. Governor Connally, they tell us, is in surgery now, undergoing an operation that's almost been completed. In serious condition. We understand, though, that while the governor is not out of the woods, as they term it, his doctors said the vital signs are good, as we mentioned a moment ago.
Dick, we've just been in contact with Dr. W.T. White, superintendent of the Dallas school system. Have you had anything as yet onto the situation of the school closing in Dallas?
No, Jerry, we haven't.
Dr. White has told KBOX Action Central that he has instructed principals of all schools in the Dallas school system to fly the flags at half-mast, but schools will not be dismissed until the regular dismissal time, the reason for that being a severe transportation problem. Dr. White went on to tell us that any parent who wished to pick up their child at the school from now until dismissal time, which is in approximately an hour and a half, would be allowed to do so. So if you have children in the Dallas public schools, they will not be officially dismissed until the normal dismissal time, but Dr. White says that you will be allowed to pick up your children if you so desire.
Yes, the flags of Dallas flying at half-mast, the hearts of Dallas flying at half-mast. Now for another direct report from the scene.
Number 4, again from the Texas School Book Depository building. Dallas police officers here at this scene advised me that they captured a suspect in the shooting. The shootings of police officer Tippett. He was dead on arrival at Methodist, of President Kennedy, and also of Governor Connally. He has admitted all three shootings. Whether it's true or not, we do not know, but police officers advised me here at the scene that the man has admitted everything, all three shootings. From the downtown area, this is Sound Page, KBOX Mobile News Unit number 4.
This is Bill Hampton in the KBOX newsroom. This bulletin just in, a Secret Service agent and a Dallas policeman were shot and killed today. They were shot some distance from the area where President Kennedy was assassinated. No other information on these other two deaths immediately available. From Stockholm, Sweden, Prime Minister Taj Erlander commented, "I don't want to say anything now." Also in Europe, these comments at The Hague, a Foreign Office spokesman said the Netherlands government, quote, expressed deep felt horror about the terrible attack on President Kennedy. Deep and strong sympathy is felt in all of Holland, both for the American people and President Kennedy. In that low-lying nation in Eastern Europe, radio bulletins were heard in great rapidity. The news was given at once to Queen Juliana. I might comment that it's been the tradition of this country to inaugurate a new president within 12 hours after any assassination attempt was successful. So we can look for Lyndon B. Johnson to be the next president of the United States within the next 12 hours. That inauguration will take place somewhere here in the state of Texas. At this moment, you may presume that the Chief Justice of the United States, Earl Warren, is now being flown to somewhere in Texas to inaugurate
Lyndon Johnson as the 35th President of the United States. And now for another direct report from the scene.
BOX Mobile News Unit number 4, again from the Texas School Book Depository Building. Dallas police officers here at this scene advised me that they captured a suspect in the shooting. The shootings are police officer Tippett. He was dead on arrival at Methodist, of President Kennedy, and also of Governor Connally. He has admitted all three shootings. Whether it's true or not, we do not know. The police officers advised me here at the scene that the man has admitted everything, all three shootings. From the downtown area, this is Soundpage KBOX Mobile News Unit number 4.
Right, Sam, now back in the Cape Box newsroom. Other details of the tragedy in Dallas today. Mr. Kennedy's brother Robert, the Attorney General in Washington, was having lunch at the time of the tragedy at his home in McLean, Virginia. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover called the FBI office in Dallas immediately following the assassination, and he ordered an all-out investigation of the mishap. I was at the hospital shortly after the mishap today. I can say in 10 years of reporting, I've never seen anything like it. Literally thousands of people crying in an extreme state of shock. Many grown men crying, women fainting, hysteria everywhere. Everyone was stunned, and in deep grief, there's no other way to describe it. This word from Austin, Lieutenant Governor Preston Smith termed President Kennedy's assassination today the darkest day in the history of the great state of Texas. He says, words are not possible for me to express my feelings over the barbaric actions which occurred today. That statement by Lieutenant Governor Preston Smith in a statement to newsmen moments ago. He went on, quote, this day probably was the darkest day in the history of the great state of Texas. It simply has to be the act of a fanatic with a distorted mind. It is a sad tragedy, leaving millions of Texans and other people in the country and world sad and shocked that something like this could happen in Texas or anywhere in America.
Bill, I have an emergency message from the Bell Telephone Company. The Dallas office of the Bell Telephone Company has just been in contact with KBOX Action Central. Have two very important messages. The public has been besieging Parkland Hospital with telephone calls with regard to the condition of the governor, Connally, and also with official confirmation as to the president's condition. They're having serious equipment difficulty, which could hamper the entire communications system of Dallas. They ask, please, that you refrain from calling Parkland Hospital, and also that you refrain from all calls in Dallas unless they are of an emergency message. So please refrain from calling Parkland Hospital and use the utmost discretion in any telephone calls in Dallas.
Right. Thank you. Soon after the president was assassinated this afternoon in Dallas, a white man in his mid-20s, as yet unidentified, was arrested in the Riverside section of Fort Worth. The man, who has black curly hair and who wore a red shirt, denied he was connected with the presidential assassination. His hands handcuffed, he was taken to the Fort Worth City Jail. We've also received word officially there have been three deaths today in the city, a Secret Service man, a Dallas policeman, and, of course, the president. One of the president's cabinet, six members of the presidential cabinet, were out of the country flying to Japan this afternoon when the president was killed. An hour and a half out of Honolulu, the secretaries were advised of the death. They immediately turned back. Even as the two clergymen hovered over the fallen president in the hospital emergency room, doctors and nurses administered blood transfusions. Officially, the president died of a gunshot wound in the brain at approximately 1 p.m. Central Standard Time this afternoon, according to an announcement by acting White House Press Secretary Malcolm Kilduff. The new president, Lyndon Johnson, and his wife left the hospital a half hour later. Newsmen had no opportunity to question them. The horror of the killing was mirrored in an eyewitness account by Senator Ralph Yarbrough, Democrat of Texas, who had been riding three cars behind Mr. Kennedy. He said, you could tell something awful and tragic had happened, the senator told newsmen, before Kennedy's death became officially known. The senator told me personally that he heard three distinct shots, perhaps more. It sounded like rifle fire to him. He said a Secret Service man told everyone to lie low, as it were. He said then the motorcade speeded up at a tremendous rate of speed to evade any further bullets from the assassin's rifle.
We take you now to KBOX Action Central and Dick Moore.
And here the
the city of Dallas still in a state of stunned shock this afternoon. Here's the tragic score as we have it now. Three persons dead, including the President of the United States, the victim of sniper's bullets, two police officers, a Dallas detective, a Secret Service man, the governor of Texas, John Connally, in serious condition at Parkland Hospital, bullet wounds. Police say they have a good suspect. They say he's admitted killing all three men during the shooting. They're checking it out extremely closely, though, to be sure that the man they have is the right man. Meanwhile, the search goes on. And now, for another direct report from the scene, this word.
And this late word from Dallas Police. Sarah P. Hughes, federal judge, en route from Parkland Hospital to Love Field, to swear in Lyndon B. Johnson as President of the United States. This late word, Sarah P. Hughes, to swear in Lyndon Johnson, President of the United States. Sound 8 for KBOX News.
As we said a few moments ago, the Vice President, Lyndon Johnson, apparently escaping any serious injury, any injury at all for that matter. Lieutenant Governor Preston Smith termed President Kennedy's assassination the darkest day in the history of the great state of Texas. In a statement to newsman, Irwin says, words are not possible for me to express my feelings over the barbaric actions which occurred today. Smith said in a statement to newsman, this day, probably the darkest day in the history of the great state of Texas. It simply has to be the act of a fanatic with a distorted mind. Continuing, it's a sad tragedy leaving millions of Texans and other people in the country and world sad and shocked that something like this could happen in Texas, in America. Continued Smith, as Lieutenant Governor of Texas, I officially extend every sympathy possible to the President's family and Mrs. Connally. Thank goodness the governor was not incapacitated. In broad daylight, on Dallas streets, today, the President of the United States felled by a sniper's bullet and killed. Now another KBOX direct report.
No, Dick, I was just going to add here for directly from the newsroom some added comments on the tragedy which occurred in Dallas today. President Kennedy had brought his whirlwind tour of Texas to Dallas after beginning the second day of the trip, two speeches in the sister city of Fort Worth, one on a parking lot, another at a breakfast. The chief executive stressed national defense in a region that had been critical of his foreign policies. He told his Fort Worth audiences that the United States will test next month the Saturn booster rocket that will put the country ahead of the Soviet Union in the outer space race. The president defended the controversial TFX fighter plane contract that went to General Dynamics of Fort Worth over Boeing Aircraft of Seattle. He said it was an investment in freedom and would save taxpayers at least $1 billion. He said this is because the same basic plane can be used by the Navy as well as Air Force, saving the cost of building separate planes for the two services. Former Vice President Richard Nixon had left Dallas a few hours before the president arrived. The man whom President Kennedy beat in the 1960 presidential race was in Dallas on official business, according to him, a non-political trip. He'd walked through a large crowd that had gathered at Dallas's Love Field during the morning, awaiting the arrival of President Kennedy.
Now, another direct report.
This is KBOX 1480 in Dallas.
This is Bill Hampton in the KBOX newsroom. We've just received this bulletin off Associated Press wire. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, somewhere in the state of Texas, presumably in the Dallas area, has now officially been sworn in as the 36th President of the United States. Right, no further details available. It's presumed that he was... Just a moment. Further details coming in. I'm reading directly off the AP wire now. Lyndon B. Johnson was sworn in as President of the United States at about 1:38 p.m. Central Standard Time this afternoon. The oath was administered by U.S. District Judge Sarah T. Hughes, presumably somewhere in the Dallas area. Unofficial reports say that the new inauguration ceremonies took place at Love Field, close to downtown Dallas. Dick?
We hate to continually dwell on the words stunned and unbelievable, but this afternoon, those two words explain all. A crowd of stunned Dallas citizens thronging around the hospital, Parkland Hospital, where the president died. The ambulance which took the body from the institution forced almost to a halt at one point because of the silent, waiting people. Adding to the tragedy was the fact that both Mr. Kennedy's children will have birthdays within the next week. So, fourth, another direct KBOX report.
This is KBOX 1480 in Dallas. We take you now to Action Central for a direct report from Sam Pate.
The 36th President of the United States of America. The former Texas governor was sworn in the air. Thusly, Lyndon B. Johnson becomes the second Texan to become President of the United States, the first being Dwight D. Eisenhower. Lyndon Johnson officially sworn in as President of the United States moments ago aboard the presidential airliner en route to Washington, carrying the new president and the body of John F. Kennedy. KBOX Mobile News.
A brief recap of the tragic events that have happened today. President Kennedy is dead, the victim of an assassin's bullet. Governor John Connally of Texas, who was riding with the president and was also shot, undergone surgery for a bullet wound in his chest. They tell us from Parkland Hospital now that Connally's condition is satisfactory. Lyndon Johnson, the new president, was not hurt. A short time after the assassination, Dallas police arrested a man in connection with the shooting of a policeman, that man being interrogated to see if he had anything to do with the slaying of the president. A black day in Big D. Dallas flags and Dallas hearts are flying at half-mast. Now a report on a Dallas policeman slain in the line of duty, checking out an attempt on an assassin.
In Dallas this afternoon, Dallas Police Detective J.D. Tippett lies dead in the course of duty protecting the chief executive's life, but to vain. Police Detective J.D. Tippett, along with his partner M.M. McDonald, were tipped by an usher of the Texas Theater in Oak Cliff that a man in a brown shirt had entered the theater. Police detectives thought the man to be the one responsible for the assassination death of John F. Kennedy. Bravely entering the theater with gun drawn, J.D. Tippett, police detective, and M.M. McDonald of the Dallas Police Department found the man when he fled, two shots being fired out. Detective Tippett firing into the air, the fugitive firing and striking Detective Tippett, killing him. However, Detective Tippett's partner, Detective M.M. McDonald, in a brief fight that ensued, arrested the man, and as the handcuffs were being slapped on him, the fugitive in the brown shirt shouted, "It's all over now." The fugitive now in custody in the Dallas Police Department as the prime suspect in the assassination death of President John F. Kennedy. KBOX, Mobile News.
This is KBOX 1480 in Dallas.
We now have Sam Faith, KBOX News, with a Mobile report.
As the 25-year-old suspect that's in police custody, wanted for shooting Officer J.D. Tippett at the Texas Theater in Oak Cliff, uttered these words to police officers moments ago, "I killed me a president and a cop, now all I need is two more." Police officers found the rifle in the Sexton Building, the school book depository building in the downtown area just off of Elm Street. One bullet left in the chamber that was not fired. Apparently, they figured that their job was well done. Didn't need to fire the other shot. And just moments ago, an explosion reported on North Haven at the YMCA. I am en route to that scene at this time to check out all details. This is Sam Pate, KBOX Mobile News Unit number 4 from City Hall.
Now we switch to Tom Murphy, who has an unusual angle to today's tragedy in the city of Dallas.
Unusual, perhaps. Unusual because it could perhaps never happen again in a lifetime. And perhaps nothing so emotional has ever happened to any city or any nation, no matter how far we go back. Today was a day of joy. At the airport early this morning, about 9 o'clock, the crowd started to gather under a very gray sky. It was windy and wet and rainy. People looked around as if to say, "I wonder how many people will be here today." And as the morning progressed and the excitement mounted, the crowd mounted. And by 11 o'clock, Love Field was perhaps one of the most exciting places in the world. Children with little signs, adults with bigger signs,
I repeat, police have found a foreign-made rifle. Sheriff's officers are questioning a young man picked up at the scene. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, now the president, was in the same motorcade. He was not hurt. Witnesses say they heard three loud bursts of gunfire. Shortly before Mr. Kennedy's death became known, he was administered the last rites of his church, the Roman Catholic Church. He had been the first Roman Catholic president in our history. Even as the two clergymen hovered over the fallen president in the emergency room of the hospital, doctors and nurses administered blood transfusions, but to no avail. The chief executive died officially of a gunshot wound in the brain at approximately 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, according to an announcement by acting White House Press Secretary Malcolm Kilduff. The new president, Lyndon Johnson, and his wife left the hospital a half hour later. Newsmen at the time had no opportunity to ask them questions. The horror, the terror, the shock of the assassination today was clearly visible in an eyewitness account given to newsmen in front of the hospital by Senator Ralph Yarbrough, Democrat of Texas, who had been riding three cars behind Mr. Kennedy. He said, "You could tell something awful and tragic had happened," the senator told newsmen just before Mr. Kennedy's death became known. When Mr. Yarbrough learned officially of the president's death, he broke down and wept. Three of America's last four presidents have faced bullets of an assassin. Of the nation's 34 chief executives, three have been slain in office. On November the 1st, 1950, two Puerto Ricans tried to shoot their way into Blair House, across the street from the White House, where President Harry Truman was then staying. One gunman was killed, the other is now serving a life term. One of the guards trying to protect President Truman at the time was also killed. On February the 15th, 1933, anarchist Joseph Segarra shot at President-elect Franklin Delano Roosevelt in Miami. The bullet missed Mr. Roosevelt, but did fatally wound Mayor Anton J. Cermak of Chicago. Today came the shots at President John Kennedy. Of the last four men elected to the White House, only Dwight D. Eisenhower saw no attempt on his life whatsoever. The presidents killed in our history by an assassin, Abraham Lincoln, James A. Garfield, and William McKinley, and today, of course, John Kennedy. We'll have further details on the tragic mishap which has occurred in Dallas today momentarily.
You're listening to KBOX 1480 in Dallas.
The Secret Service tells KBOX News that President Kennedy was apparently shot by a high-powered army or Japanese rifle, about 25 caliber. Dallas police say he was shot from a warehouse in which people were working. They found the remains of fried chicken and paper on the fifth floor. Said the sniper apparently had been there for some time. The assassin, the man in custody, 30 years old, slender build, weighs about 165 pounds, stands 5 feet 10 inches tall. He has blonde hair, is balding, dressed in ragged-looking trousers and a sports shirt. And the surgeon who attended Kennedy at the hospital, Dr. Malcolm Perry, says he couldn't tell whether the president might have been shot once or twice. Perry said when he arrived at the emergency room, he noticed the president was in extremely critical condition, a bullet wound in the neck and head. He said immediate resumptive measures taken, and Dr. Kemp Clark, chief of neurosurgery, called along with several other members of the staff. He said they arrived immediately, but at that point, the president's condition was critical and hopeless. Doctor said an oxygen machine was used, blood and fluid were administered, an electrocardiograph machine attached to record any heartbeat, a heartbeat that wasn't there. When asked to specify, Dr. Perry said the bullet apparently entered the front of the president's head. And about our new president, Lyndon Johnson. Automatically becoming president with Kennedy's death, the presidential oath which he took later is, "I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of these United States." At 6 feet three, weighing close to 200 pounds, Johnson has always been supercharged with energy. He's been called self-centered at times, considerate at others, a humanitarian, power-hungry, a shrewd opportunist and a political genius, tough yet vulnerable, vain, friendly, sensitive, flamboyant. Friends and others who watched him on his rise over the decades agreed that he was just flexible enough or human enough to have been all of those things at one time or another. Johnson himself once said of himself, "I am also a liberal, a conservative, a Texan, a taxpayer, a rancher, a businessman, a consumer, a parent, a voter, and not as young as I used to be either, nor as old as I expect to be, and I'm all those things in fixed order." Present at the swearing-in of Johnson, Mrs. Kennedy, Mrs. Johnson, several staff members, several congressmen. Johnson asked as many of the White House people as possible to crowd into the executive suite of the plane to witness the swearing-in ceremony. Judge Sarah Hughes weeping as she administered the presidential oath to Johnson. The presidential plane took off immediately for Washington with Johnson, Mrs. Johnson, Mrs. Kennedy, and some White House aides aboard. Officers at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland say President Kennedy's body will arrive later this evening. It's being transported aboard the plane that also carries the new president, Lyndon Johnson, the new first lady, Mr. Kennedy's widow. Dallas and the nation reeling, asking why. Americans sharing the instant reaction expressed by Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy as she held the head of her dying husband in her lap and cried, "Oh, God, no." Another spokesman says Attorney General Robert Kennedy remaining at his estate at McLean, Virginia. The other brother, Senator Edward Kennedy, presiding over the Senate when the news came. He went to his office but left it. His staff says it's not known where he went. A workman told Kennedy's parents at Hyannisport, Massachusetts, they had no comment. Activity in Washington and the executive branch of Congress at a standstill. Stock exchanges, commodity markets closing quickly. Prices on the New York stock market had gone into a tailspin. It was closed quickly. White House staff members from the president's closest confidants to ushers standing clustered around radio and television sets, news tickers waiting for news from Dallas. The news from Dallas today was bad. The Senate recessed after a prayer. The Senate chaplain, the Reverend Frederick Brown Harris, praying that the senators and the people of the country be strong, be steady, and that God save the state. The Security and Exchange Commission appealing to all stock exchanges to close promptly. Most of them already had. And you heard earlier on KBOX News from the Dallas Police Department, Homicide Detective Captain Will Fritz says it looks good. He's talking about a suspect they have. A man that said, and we quote his very words, "I've killed me a cop and a president. Now I'm going to get me two more." We'll be back in just a moment.
A Dallas policeman has been shot and killed while chasing a suspected assassin of the president through the movie theater in Oak Cliff section of Dallas. He was shot to death as he and a fellow officer ran into the rear exit of the theater while following a tip that the assassin might be inside. The other officer rushed the suspect. The man yelled, "It's all over now." And as the officer grabbed him, the two fell struggling into a seat. The officer's face was slashed, but he managed to arrest the suspect. The 24-year-old man who said 2 years ago he wanted to Russian citizenship was questioned to see whether he had any connection with the assassination of the president. He was identified as Lee Harvey Oswald of Fort Worth. He was pulled screaming and yelling from the Texas Theater in the Oak Cliff section shortly after a Dallas policeman was shot to death. On November 1, 1959, Oswald told the U.S. Embassy in Moscow he had applied for Soviet citizenship. He said he had been a tourist in Russia since October the 13th that year. Oswald was reported to have a Russian wife. Oswald put up a wild fight in the theater. He brandished a pistol, which officers took away from him after the scuffle. Police officer M.N. McDonald, who was caught across the face in the scuffle, quoted Oswald as saying, after he was subdued, "Well, it's all over now. I got me a president, I got me a cop, I need two more." A large crowd had congregated around the theater and witnessed the arrest. Police had to hold the crowds back because many apparently connected the arrested man with the slaying of the president. The slain officer was identified as J.D. Tippett. Oswald is about 5'9" tall, weighing approximately 160 pounds. He has blonde hair and is balding. He was dressed in ragged-looking trousers and a tan sports shirt. President Kennedy was shot through the head and neck as he rode through Dallas in the presidential limousine in what had been a triumphal motorcade. When the shots were fired at about 12:30 p.m. Dallas time, the chief executive slumped forward. Mrs. Kennedy turned in the seat ahead of him and cried, "Oh, no," in anguish and horror. She tried to cradle his head in her arms as the limousine took off at top speed for Parkland Hospital, where Kennedy died a half hour later. Kennedy's body was removed from Parkland Hospital at 2:05 Dallas time in a lengthy cream-colored ambulance with off-white curtains tightly drawn. Mrs. Kennedy rode in a passenger seat in that ambulance, the type of vehicle with two seats for passengers. She and the body of Kennedy were escorted from the emergency entrance of Parkland Hospital by two motorcade officers. Mrs. Kennedy walked out of the back door of the emergency entrance as the body was also taken out. She walked slowly, looked around in a dazed manner, and appeared to be in a state of shock. Those who saw her enter the hospital an hour and a half earlier said she had not been hysterical at the time. Secret servicemen directed Dallas police to remove spectators and newsmen from 50 to 100 yards away before the body was taken from the hospital. A crowd of several thousand had been waiting at the Dallas Trade Mart on the outskirts of the downtown section to hear the luncheon address by the president. A stunned hush fell over the crowd as word of the tragedy spread. Many who had looked forward to dining with the chief executive broke down and cried. The main body of the White House press corps was at the rear of the motorcade during the motorcade, riding in two buses. These men and women who had covered the president's activities in life from day to day knew nothing of the shooting until they had reached the Trade Mart. Anonymous sense of dread had struck the reporters, however, within seconds after the shooting. It was apparent that the neatly ordered motorcade was falling apart, that city police were leaving the route in haste, escorting the car to the Parkland Hospital emergency. Governor John Conley's office in Austin has issued this statement. He is in the operating room. The doctors have opened his chest. He will probably be 2 more hours to undergo orthopedic surgery. The open chest revealed a number of broken ribs, bruised lungs, one lung collapsed by the bullets. It has been reinflated. He probably has 4 broken ribs and contused a lung. The lung collapsed but has been reinflated. No serious artery damage to the heart. Blood pressure, pulse, still okay. President Kennedy was administered the last rites of the Roman Catholic Church shortly after he was carried into Parkland Hospital. He is the nation's first Catholic president. Emergency treatment given the dying president was described for newsmen by 2 physicians, Drs. Kemp Clark and Malcolm Perry. Dr. Perry says Kennedy suffered a neck wound, a bullet hole in the lower part of the neck. There was a second wound in the president's head. Perry was not certain whether it was inflicted by the same bullet. The physician said the president lost consciousness as soon as he was hit and never revived. We never had any hope of saving his life, said Perry, though 8 or 10 physicians attended him in a frantic but futile effort to keep the president alive. Clark, a brain surgeon, reported that Kennedy was given oxygen and blood transfusions, then was administered an anesthetic so an emergency tracheotomy could be performed. During his procedure, surgeons cut a hole in the president's windpipe in an attempt to ease his breathing. Perry said that shortly after he reached the hospital, the chief executive's heart action failed. There was no palatable pulse beat. The time of death announced officially at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Police believe the fatal volley was fired from a textbook warehouse overlooking the expressway down which the president's car was heading. Bob Jackson, the photographer of the Dallas Times-Herald, heard 1 shot, then 2 rapid bursts as he rode in an open convertible in the presidential motorcade. He said he looked up and saw 2 men peering from the upper story window of the warehouse. As he said he looked, he saw a rifle being drawn quickly back into the 6th-floor window. Police began a massive search of the big structure, emptying it of all employees. Vice President Lyndon Johnson automatically succeeds to the presidency. The new chief executive took the oath of office at 2:39 p.m. Central Standard Time. For the first time in history, the oath was administered by a woman, U.S. District Judge Sarah T. Hughes. Johnson was sworn in aboard the presidential jet transport, Air Force One, at Dallas's Love Field. He then flew to Washington to take over the government which Kennedy had directed since January 20, 1961. Kennedy's body was aboard that plane. The at the swearing-in were Mrs. Kennedy and Mrs. Johnson, several staff members and several congressmen. Johnson asked as many of the White House people as possible to crowd to the executive suite of the plane to witness the ceremony. Judge Hughes wept as she administered the presidential oath to Johnson. The presidential plane took off immediately for Washington with Johnson, Mrs. Johnson, and Mrs. Kennedy and some White House aides aboard. Here is the presidential oath. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of these United States and do the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of these United States.
This is KBOX 1480 in Dallas.
John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, born May 29th, 1917 in Boston, died November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas. Kennedy, the first American chief executive to face the possibility of nuclear war. He risked it with a show of force to protect American interests, but later succeeded in achieving an agreement with Russia limiting nuclear tests. On the domestic front, Mr. Kennedy, confronted by a racial problem which epitomized a contemporary world issue, the tense relationship between the blacks and the whites. Today, A crowd of stunned Dallas citizens thronging around the hospital where Kennedy died. They still can't believe it. What happened? Why did it happen? The ambulance which took the body from the institution forced almost to a halt at one point. Many people on the street, silent people, waiting people, shocked people. Adding poignancy to the tragedy, the fact that both Kennedy children will have birthdays within the next week. Caroline, 6, on November 27. John Jr. will be 3 on the 25th of November. The president had flown to Texas on a goodwill tour, speaking to citizens in the major cities, and never one to neglect practical politics, doing what he could to quiet partisan infighting among the Democrats in Texas. The president and his aides had been very pleased with the way the trip had been going. In fact, a crowd of tens of thousands that saw Kennedy drive through Dallas toward his rendezvous with death, the largest and most enthusiastic of the journey. At the airport this morning at Love Field, President Kennedy, Jackie, shaking hands with milling crowds, happy crowds. Less than an hour later, the president was killed. In the 24 hours before he was murdered, the president was seen and enthusiastically cheered by several thousand Texans in San Antonio, Houston, Fort Worth, and Dallas. He planned to fly to the state capital of Austin this afternoon for a Democratic fundraising dinner, then to Johnson City to spend the night at the ranch of Lyndon Johnson's, maybe even a deer hunt tomorrow. From a personal point of view, I imagine the trip had been a particularly warming one for Mr. Kennedy because the First Lady had accompanied him, joining energetically in the round of public appearances and handshaking tours. In fact, the president got a hearty chuckle this morning when he mentioned an incident concerning Mrs. Kennedy. Said, the First Lady isn't with me this morning. It takes her longer than it does me to get organized in the morning. But then he added, she's a lot prettier, too. Mrs. Kennedy had not been with the president on any major speaking tour since the primary campaign that preceded his nomination as the Democratic candidate for president in 1960. During the 1960 election campaign, she was expecting their second child, John F. Kennedy, Jr. In more recent months, she'd abandoned her public schedule of activities following the birth and death of a second son, Patrick Bouvier Kennedy, in August. The death of the president, thus, the second tragedy to strike Mrs. Kennedy in less than 4 months. During their fateful hours in Texas, John and Jackie Kennedy had worked like a team in greeting the crowds that flocked in to see them. At almost every point where they were afoot and a crowd was gathered, Kennedy and his wife had approached their greeters to exchange handshakes and chit-chat. Governor Conley now said to be in satisfactory condition at Parkland Hospital, and as you heard moments ago, Vice President Lyndon Johnson is no longer Vice President Lyndon Johnson. He is President Lyndon Johnson. Dallas police arresting a 24-year-old man, Lee Oswald, in connection with the slaying of a Dallas policeman. He's being interrogated to see if he had any connection with the killing of the president. Homicide Detective Captain Will Fritz says it looks like he's a good suspect. Oswald was pulled screaming and yelling from the Texas Theater in the Oak Cliff sector. Had a pistol which officers took away from him after a scuffle. A policeman who was cut on the face in the scuffle quoted Oswald as saying, "Well, it's all over now. I've killed me a cop and the president. I'm going to get me two more." Two law enforcement agency officers killed, a Dallas detective and a Secret Service man. A crowd had congregated around the theater. Witnesses said they saw police having to hold the crowds back because many apparently connected the arrested man with the slaying of the president, and they were mad. The officer who was slain, J.D. Tippett, killed by a man answering the description of Oswald in the neighborhood a short time before. Tippett had been slain with a pistol. Now, stand by in a few moments. We'll have a report from Parkland Hospital, that report coming up just momentarily. We can't help recall some of the happier moments today, this morning at Love Field. When the president and Jacqueline Kennedy, she dressed in a pert pink dress carrying a bouquet of roses. Red roses clashed violently with the dress. Both shaking hands with onlookers, hands stretched across the barricades. Mrs. Kennedy emerging from the plane first, an item of controversy in past years. President Kennedy finally bowing to protocol and following his wife from the plane. Now from that report from Parkland Hospital.
This is Jerry Cockle in KBOX Action Central Mobile News, and I am at Parkland Hospital, just outside the emergency room. KBOX News sources have just spoken with Cliff Cassidy. Cliff Cassidy was the Dallas County campaign manager for John Connally when he ran for governor only last year. According to Cliff Cassidy, who had spoken with the attending physician of wounded Governor Connally, Governor Connally now has a better than 50-50 chance of survival. Information is sketchy here at Parkland Hospital as to exactly the extent of the governor's injuries. However, there are three punctures in his body, one in his arm, one in his side, and one in his leg. Sources theorize, however, that two bullets struck Governor Conley, and the third puncture was caused by one of the bullets leaving his body. An official news bulletin is scheduled to be released in about 4 minutes when the doctor will speak with the press corps. We are now heading toward the press room of Parkland Emergency Hospital. At the moment, according to Cliff Cassidy, the Dallas County Conley campaign manager, the governor has a better than 50-50 chance. For KBOX Action Central News, this is Jerry Kunkel.
The Secret Service says President Kennedy apparently was shot by a high-powered rifle, they think a .25 caliber, possibly a .306. Dallas police say he was shot from a warehouse in which the people were working. They have a suspect in custody. Captain Will Fritz says, "It looks like we have a good suspect." The man said, and we quote, "I've killed me a cop and a president, and now I'm going to kill me two more." Three lives snuffed out, the President of the United States, two law enforcement agencies, a Dallas detective, a Secret Service man. The surgeon who attended President Kennedy at the hospital, Dr. Malcolm Perry, said he couldn't tell whether the president might have been hit once, maybe twice, he said. He said when he arrived at the emergency room, he noticed the president was in critical condition, a severe bullet wound in the head. He said immediate resumptive measures were taken. Dr. Kent Clark, chief of neurosurgery, called along with several other members of the staff. He said they arrived immediately, but at that point, the president's condition was critical, hopeless. The doctor said an oxygen machine was used, blood and fluid administered. Electrocardiograph machine attached to record any possible heartbeat. When asked to specify about the wound, the doctor said the president was shot in the forehead. Vice President Johnson, now President Lyndon Johnson, automatically becoming president with Kennedy's death. The presidential oath he took aboard the presidential plane. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. At 6'3", weighing close to 200 pounds, Johnson has always been charged with energy. And news of the attack and the death of the president hit Congress like a blow in the face today. The leadership reacted with comments of, "Oh my God, this is terrible." Senate Democratic Leader Mike Mansfield of Montana, calling to the Senate cloakroom telephone, informed of the news flash on the attack on the chief executive and Texas Governor Conley. "It's terrible," Mansfield said. A hushed pause. He said, "I'm sorry, I can't find words." And they call us a center of conservative philosophy and finance in Big D. Here on October 24th, Adlai Stevenson spat upon by one heckler, struck by another after making a United Nations Day address. It was believed that Mr. Kennedy's body will be moved shortly to Washington. Traditionally, funeral services for presidents who die in office are held in the capital city. Governor Conley, a Democrat, was wounded in the right chest. You heard that report a moment ago, that his chances for survival appear to be better than 50-50. When Mrs. Kennedy reached Parkland Hospital, her clothing was covered with blood from her wounded husband. When he was shot, she cradled his head in her lap, said, "Oh, my God, no." The president, 46 years old, the youngest man ever to be elected to the presidency. The president's mother and father learned of the tragedy from a workman at their home in Hyannisport, Massachusetts. Neither commented. The president's father, Joseph P. Kennedy, a semi-invalid, the result of a stroke several years ago. And Senator Ralph Yarbrough, waiting in the corridors of Parkland Hospital, when he learned of the death of the president, he broke down in sobs. The senator was in a car about three behind the president at the time of the shooting. Said, "I could see a Secret Service man in the president's car leaning on the car with his hands clasped in anger. He said, I knew something was wrong. I knew then something tragic had happened. Just how tragic, I didn't know." Yarbrough said he counted three rifle shots as the presidential limousine left downtown Dallas through a triple underpass. The shots fired from above, possibly from one of the bridges or from a nearby building. So the way it stands now, police say they have one good suspect in police custody. We should have more reports from there momentarily. And Governor Conley now standing a better than 50-50 chance of surviving.
President and Mrs. Kennedy were nearing the end of a two-day tour of Texas. They and their party landed at San Antonio yesterday, went to Houston, then flew to Fort Worth last night. They flew to Dallas this morning, were en route to a presidential speaking engagement when the assassin's bullet struck.
They were to have flown to Austin, the state capital, for a dinner tonight at the governor's mansion. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, a Texan, was in the same motorcade but some distance back from the president. He was not harmed. Johnson in the hospital when Mr. Kennedy died. But shortly after the death, he was whisked from the hospital under very heavy guard. He was sworn in as the nation's 36th president in the airliner that has flown President Kennedy to Dallas this morning. Immediately afterward, he flew back to the Capitol. Identity of the assassin, not immediately known. Sheriff's officers took a young man into custody near the scene, questioned him behind closed doors. A Dallas television newsman says he saw a rifle being withdrawn from a window on the fifth or sixth floor of the office building. A rifle was found in the staircase on the fifth floor of the building. A top Treasury official says no Secret Service men were injured in the attack on President Kennedy.